Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday in the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, a beautiful section, the Christian hymn that was describing that Paul is communicating to us so beautifully from his heart with such passion what Jesus has accomplished for us and the humility that was at the foundation of Jesus' work of salvation. As I said earlier in the week, quoting, I can't remember which saint, but basically, St. Augustine. He said it was pride that changed angels into devils, and it is humility that makes men as angels. It's the humility in the heart of Jesus, his obedience to the Father. That's where we ended the program yesterday. This beautiful hymn puts the finger right on it. You know, there's a theme that runs through the scripture, you know, where God raises up the humble and he brings down the proud. He exalts the humble. He loves the humble heart. You know, we see in Our Lady, for example, you know, perfect example of how God is drawn to Mary, to her humility, this grace that he was working in her, and the way in which she could be a vessel. She could be a unique dwelling place, an absolutely unique dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The Spirit of God overshadowed her. She was filled with God's grace. And the astounding reality of the incarnation happened in her and with her, yes, and all the ways in which God chose this humble child, really, who is exactly the person surrendered enough to God, yielded in heart to God, full of humility and grace to be able to bear the weight of the astounding, astounding reality which God the Father worked in and through her in the incarnation. It's just staggering. It's staggering. But God loves humility. God is drawn to humility. And as St. Thomas Aquinas said, humility means seeing ourselves as God sees us, knowing every good we have comes from him, and it's a pure gift. It's who we are is God's gift. Everything we have is God's gift. And a humble heart is one that acknowledges that, that lives in that, and we don't exalt ourselves and seek to put ourselves above others, want to be honored, extolled, and preferred, and better, and higher, and number one, in the sense of everybody's a little bit behind me, below me in some way, and not to see both the magnificent dignity of who I am by virtue of God's choice and God's creation, but every other human being has the same origin and the same call and destiny in God. And so I was reading from that beautiful hymn in chapter 2 here, Philippians, ended the program yesterday, just read through the whole thing, and Paul is calling on the Philippian community, which is struggling with different things, as does every Christian community, because it's inhabited by people like me and you and sinful, broken people who are on the way, we're not perfected yet. And so Paul is calling them, he's exhorting them to say, you know, if there's any incentive of love, you know, we're called to live in love. And he said, any participation in walking in the Spirit, let's make sure that we're of the same mind, that we have together a renewed mind, and we agree on, and we want to live in and from what Jesus has shown us. And Paul said, let each of us look not only to our own interests, but to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves. So he says, I want us to be of one mind together on this. What's he talking about? He said, have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. This is the mind of Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. That is, even though he was God from God, he was the eternally begotten Son of God, and there's an infinity of difference between him and us, the eternal Son of God, he became one of us. He condescended. He didn't count that equality that he had with God something, Paul says here, to be grasped, that is, to be used for selfish purposes or to be seized and to be thrust out. Instead, what he did is he humbled himself. He emptied himself of what was rightfully his for a time. And he became one of us to both show us what it meant to be us, that the people we're meant to be in God, what we were created to be. He showed us who God is. He showed us what man is. He showed us, you know, what we're up against. He revealed our weaknesses and limitations. He revealed what love is. And the whole story of salvation unfolds perfectly in Jesus. And then in verse 8 says, having being found in human form, that is, he took the form of a servant. Basically, it's the same thing, saying the same thing. And remember what he did. He washed the feet of the apostles. And he laid down his life for you and for me. Washing Peter's feet, this is why the church, you know, at the annual Holy Thursday Mass, the beginning of the Triduum, there's the washing of the feet, remembering the institution of the Eucharist and the priesthood and the like. And some of the members of the parish, their feet are being washed. But that's symbolic of what Jesus did for all of us. He did not count his superior, stupendous, great majesty as making us unworthy for his attention or to be served. Jesus said, now learn from me. I'm meek and humble of heart. So learn from Jesus, he's saying to us, and he expressed it, and he knelt down and he washed Peter's feet. Remember that? And Peter said, no, not you, because Peter began to grasp. He was, by God's grace, was able to see, get a glimpse into Jesus' glory and majesty, his power. And he said, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus said, I have to wash your feet. Every single person needs to have the master wash their feet to cleanse them of all sin. And he shows us in that moment what it means to be human, how we're supposed to live, that every human being is worthy of our service and our love and attention. So again, verse 8, and he, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Just the few words, he humbled himself. He chose to do that. He made a choice. And Scripture exhorts us, Jesus exhorts us, the apostles, humble yourself. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. I'm going to live with my knees bowed before the Lord. I'm going to acknowledge his glory and majesty. I'm going to receive everything that I have as a gift from him and not exalt myself and look to be recognized and put myself in front of others. I'm simply going to give thanks to God. And as he was totally generous with me, I'm going to give away everything he's given to me. You know, I'm going to have a heart that's generous toward God in terms of giving to God what belongs to God, worship and obedience and trust and abandonment, and also to my neighbor, who maybe my eyes, I don't see my neighbor as somebody who's lovable or who I have any interest in or whatever, or I think I'm better than they are because my income is higher or I live in a better neighborhood or whatever it might be. To be able to say, Lord, I see these things in me and I ask your forgiveness. And by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit that's present in my life, I want to have this new mind. I want to be of one mind with you. And I want to help my brothers and sisters in my marriage, my home, my family, church. I want us all to be of one mind together and walk in this kind of humility. And how is that humility expressed? Through obedience. He became obedient unto death, so that condescension, the decision to become the servant of all, was a decision out of obedience. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. He made it clear that he does everything the Father commands him to do because he loves the Father. And as I've said many times in the program, that's the love language of heaven. It's not just feelings. It's the decision to obey. And there's nothing enslaving about obedience. The flesh thinks so. The fallen world thinks so. Satan himself hated it. He hated the idea that he had to be under anybody. He wanted to be exalted above everybody. He didn't want to be serving others. He wanted everyone to be at his service and at his command. He wanted to be God. But Jesus reveals the real heart and nature of God. God's not a domineering, enslaving, you know, self-centered being. He is what Jesus revealed. He's love itself. It's a communion of persons, self-donating love. And so to come into their life together, this is what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are drawing us into, to learning how to be self-donating, to giving ourselves in love to the Father and love to our neighbor, without being afraid, without holding on, without holding back, without expecting all kinds of things in return, but freely giving the way we freely received, the way Jesus gave to us. He became obedient even unto death. So there's no limit to it. This humility expressed by Jesus, expressed concretely in obedience, was without limit, even to the point of death. He trusted God, even death on a cross, Paul says. And he says, therefore, this is a big therefore, because of this, God the Father responded. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. You know, we exalt people all the time in this world. We have, you know, Academy Awards and Emmy Awards and, you know, military awards and you name them, awards for everything, awards of achievement, of this, that, and the other thing. And awards are fine. And we elevate people, we exalt people. And a healthy culture elevates people who imitate and incarnate the right things, the right virtues of justice and of courage and things like that. It's really good to elevate people in a position, in a moment, to exalt the life they've lived as a model. And in return, if they're walking in humility, they give all glory to God because they know what they've received has come to them from God. And the capacity to do what they did came from God. And they want to, in turn, both bless people through it and honor God through it. So, therefore, God has highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name that's above every name. And now he's starting to press in, Paul here, into Caesar's world, right? Caesar, who expected everybody in the realm to acknowledge him as some kind of deity and to confess it in different ways. And his was the special name, you know, Dominus et Deus Muster, my Lord and my God, all this. And the kingdom of God is breaking in, and the real king is established on his throne in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And this is the name that's above every name. There is no other God. There is no other ruler. There is no other spirit. Nothing in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. The realms, Paul will say, the realms really of all created reality. There's one name above every name. And verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Father is insisting on this. The Son is going to be honored and glorified through all eternity. And the Son will continue to offer himself through all eternity to the Father. And heaven is for all those who will do this very thing, who will confess with their lips and with their whole life that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that they will bend their knee. Because when he comes again in judgment on the final day, brothers and sisters, to judge the living and the dead, every knee will bend, even those who hate him. Everyone will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. And then rightful judgment will unfold because he's the one, by choice of the Father, who will execute that final judgment over all things. And we confess his name, Paul says, to the glory of God the Father. May we live that way, may we confess it by walking in humility and grace. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the Church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.